I want to do some teaching about the Holy Spirit today. I wonder if you have wondered if there's more power to be received, to be implemented in your lives. The scripture lesson today is from Luke chapter 24. I've jumped to the back of the book of Luke. And after the resurrection of Jesus, he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures, and he told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer, rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high." And then he opens his second book. You know, Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he wrote also the book of Acts. He opens the book of Acts, chapter 1, by reiterating what he's just said, and said that, "I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come upon you in power." And then a few verses later, the beginning of Acts chapter 2, they're all gathered there in Jerusalem. And the Holy Spirit comes with a rushing, like the sound of a rushing mighty wind, and people are filled with the Holy Spirit in a great way on that first Pentecost Sunday. It was a festival of weeks in the Old Testament. They were gathered from around, and on Pentecost was the birthday of the church, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the pouring, outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Back in 1970, 40 years ago, this year, Jan and I were at Asbury College. It's a little Christian college in central Kentucky. I was a senior, Jan was a sophomore. And the dean, we had required chapel. The dean was scheduled to speak that day, but he said, "Rather than speak, I'm going to open it up. I feel led to open it up and ask if anybody would like to share a personal testimony." And so pretty soon, a lineup of about 8 guys was right here, and some of the rowdiest guys on campus. Nobody was really rowdy at that campus, but some of the rowdiest guys on campus. It was a pretty religious school. The first one asked for forgiveness for others and from God. The second one came. And a third and a fourth, and the line got longer, and the hour of chapel finished. The hour came and went, and the line was longer. It must have been 30 or 40 people. And so we stayed, and you began to sense that something unusual was happening. And for 8 days, this is the God's honest truth, 8 days, there was the presence of the Holy Spirit on that campus. At 4 o'clock in the morning, there would be 300 or 400 people in the chapel, singing, quiet. It was a quiet sense of the love and presence of God. That's all I can say. I knew it was real on the second or third day when I went into the little restaurant there on campus, and there was this same sense of love and the presence of God. It happened in 1950. It happened again, as I say, in 1970. Nobody sort of knows when the spirit of the wind of the Spirit blows and when it doesn't, but I can testify to you, Jan can testify to you, that the Holy Spirit is real. It came as it came on Pentecost to all. And so I stand before you today wanting to say these words to you about the power of the Holy Spirit. Someone I heard talk about the experience of the Holy Spirit, they said, "When the Holy Spirit, I'd heard about it, but when the love of God came upon me, the power of the Spirit came upon me, I began to feel normal. I felt whole. I felt free. I felt loved and accepted just for who I am." And I just wonder if there might be some of us gathered here today who might want to receive for maybe the first time, or for a refilling, a new passion of the Holy Spirit. I have pulled together on this sheet of paper in your bulletin, if you'll pull it out, this is going to be maybe your most concentrated look at who the Holy Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit does, and how I can be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is going to be a rush through, but stay with me if you will. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is someone who causes new things to come into being and brings order and peace in chaotic situations. This is, you could take your own concordance, you can go through the Bible. That's what I did. Looked up places where there's a reference to the Holy Spirit. It begins at the very beginning. Genesis 1 and 2 says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters like a mother hovers over her children." And this Holy Spirit is hovering over the waters to bring order out of chaos. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. It creates new things, brings new life, and creates, where there's disorder, order. Where there's chaos, peace. And you may have experienced disorder, chaos. And I just want to say to you that the Holy Spirit's intention is to bring order and peace, to create something new. Number two, the Holy Spirit is someone who gifts people for specific creative tasks. Bezalel, the artist, in Exodus 31, verses 3 through 5, I'm just thrilled that the first person that the Bible says God filled with the Holy Spirit is a layperson, not a clergy person, not a priest, not a prophet, but a layperson. God filled Bezalel with the Spirit of God for the building of the tabernacle, with the skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, to engage in all kinds of craftsmanship. You are all gifted. God wants to add to your giftedness the gift of the Holy Spirit to take it to a new dimension, a new level. And some of you can testify that your creativity comes not from you, but from God's Spirit. That's what Exodus 31 says. Number three, God's Holy Spirit is someone who fills people for doing the work of God. Numbers 11, 25. Moses has taken Jethro's advice, his father-in-law, and said, who said to him, "Moses, you can't do all of this by yourself. Ordain 70 other people." And so he did. And now the Lord came down in a cloud and took of the Spirit that was on Moses and put the Spirit on the 70 elders. People who are called to positions of leadership in the church are also called to let God fill them with God's Holy Spirit for the work of the church. When I see some of you doing things around this church, I know that the Holy Spirit is infilling you and empowering you. Otherwise, you couldn't stay at it like you do. Number four, someone who fills persons for the task of leadership. In the book of Judges, we read about Gideon. But Lord Gideon said, "How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family." Whenever I call on any of you to do something in the church, and you say, "Oh, but I'm too weak to do that," I just quote this text to you so you'd have no excuse. But it's absolutely true. If God calls you, God's Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you've sensed it in your work, perhaps, that God gives you the gift of leadership. That's a promise of the Holy Spirit as you ask God for that. I forgot one. You can add a 4B if you're taking notes. The Holy Spirit is someone who gives power and strength. Power and strength, as in Samson in Judges 15:14. And in that one, Samson, near the end of his life, is filled with the Holy Spirit. He's tied up and he breaks the ropes. The ropes are charred and the bindings drop from his hands. Many of us, many people you know, are bound by addictions or drugs or insecurity or habits or a bad temper. And just as the Holy Spirit filled Samson and broke the power of those, I believe with all my heart the Holy Spirit can fill us and break us, break the power of those things over us. That's what the Scripture teaches. That's what experience teaches as well. Number five, is dearer than life itself. After David has sinned with Bathsheba, he cries out in Psalm 51, "Forgive me, O God." And God is going to grant forgiveness. And then David cries out, the greatest fear of his life, "Cast me not from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me." And the Holy Spirit fills us. it becomes dearer than life itself. You don't want to do anything that would harm your relationship with God, that would cause the Holy Spirit to depart from you and me. I pray that each of you hearing this will have that same concern and fear about ever losing the Holy Spirit. Number 6, the Holy Spirit is someone who enables us to share the good news and bind up the brokenhearted. Isaiah 61:1-2, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from the darkness for prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. You and I are called to bear witness, to share the good news. Bind up the brokenhearted, and God will empower you. My prayer, my earnest prayer is these 67 acres, every inch of them might be, when somebody drives over the crest of the hill into this place, they might sense the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God over us, that they might be drawn, not to this building, but to this place and to the power of the Spirit. Because I think our world longs for moving past the division and the hurt and the heartache to the empowering of the healing work of the Spirit. Number 7, the Holy Spirit is one who empowers us for the tasks we have to do, whatever they are, and the life we need to live. Micah 3:8 says, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord brings His power. Many people have said to me, what's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament in their understanding of the Holy Spirit? Here it is. I've written it out for you. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is given to particular people at particular times for particular tasks. Whereas in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is poured out upon all of us who would receive it. There's a rising hope in the Old Testament that this particular event might become for all of God's people. And it's captured eloquently, this feeling of anticipation, by the prophet Joel, looking to that day in the future when he says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. So without regard to sex or age or rank, God's Spirit will come upon us as we receive it. Number 8 is promised. The Holy Spirit is promised by Jesus and the Father. I read it, Luke 24:49. It's repeated in Acts 1:4-5. And John 14:16, it says this. Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. To live with you and in you. Power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 26 of that chapter. The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. Peace I leave with you. When the Holy Spirit comes, there's a sense of peace. There's a sense of peace. Number 9. The Holy Spirit is someone who was poured out on all gathered in that first Pentecost. It is now available to all who believe. Peter said, this is what the prophet Joel spoke about. And he said, repent and be baptized, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. You and your children and those who are far off. Those in Gainesville, Florida, 2010. Number B, what does the Holy Spirit do? It's talked about all throughout the Old Testament, but it's all sort of summarized and capitalized in Romans 8. Invite you to spend some time with it. Number 1, though, it says the Holy Spirit sets us free. My experience of the Holy Spirit in 1970 at Asbury was a new freedom. Scripture says it sets us free from the power of sin over us, from the past, and from any hostile power. Here's what Romans 8:1-2 says. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. You are controlled by the Spirit. E. Stanley Jones said after he became a Christian, it was a dramatic conversion for him, not for everybody, but he was living this great sense of joy, and then he began to fall, and he felt this tremendous struggle within him, and he said, God, I can't keep going like this. Is there more? And God said, yes, there's more. Receive my Holy Spirit. And he received his Holy Spirit and lived in a new sense of power and freedom. Secondly, the Holy Spirit gives us a deep sense of assurance that we are indeed God's own children. We don't have to wonder and worry. 8:14-15 says, because whoever is led by the Spirit of God is a child of God. For you didn't receive the spirit of fear, but the spirit of adoption as God's own child. Number three, provides an intimacy with God. This closeness and deepness. We cry, Abba, Daddy, Father. Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Fourthly, he provides great strength in our weakest moments. Maybe you've been in one of these times where you didn't know how to pray. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit intercedes with us, for us with groans that words cannot express. Finally, makes us more than conquerors. If God is for us, who can be against us? In all these things, we're more than conquerors. Have you received the power of the Holy Spirit? Would you like to? I'm not sure you can formalize it, but here's an attempt. You ask God to forgive you for anything that would be blocking you from God. Turn from any area that you know to be wrong. Trust that God desires every follower of Jesus to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit and receive the gift and hold firmly to God's promise. Would you join me in that prayer? God, at times chaos seems to reign. Maybe I'm like Samson today, my hands tied, I'm wrapped up in an addiction or a great struggle. Or maybe I know someone who is. Maybe I'm called to a task that seems beyond me. Today I want to trust your holy word that you desire for us, the Holy Spirit, to live within us. To do in us what Jesus did when he walked this earth. So I ask your forgiveness for the past and anything blocking you. And anything that I'm doing wrong, God, give me the power to stop. And now fill me with your Holy Spirit. Come, O Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. I know you will. And we receive the gift of the Spirit. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.